Hello, and welcome to this week's RTD Metro Business. I'm Virginia Boyce volunteer Gwen Perkins, reading the Metro Business section from the Monday, April 15th, 2024 edition of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Today's first article is New Hope for Chicken Farmers. Virginia farmers find new egg market after Tyson Foods shut down in Glen Allen. A Virginia co-op moves to a new market. Arthur Dave Race of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Last year, when Bobby Bowen, a young Southside Virginia farmer, told his wife that Tyson Foods was shutting its Glen Allen chicken processing plant, she started crying, and he figured it meant an end to his dreams of following his dad and grandfather, working the family farm, a dream his dad had tried to discourage him from following. But now that he and other chicken farmers who had supplied Tyson have banded together in the new Central Virginia Poultry Cooperative, they've found a new and very different kind of poultry market, eggs from free-range hens. Indiana-based Dutch Country Organics is looking to have a co-op members tending 1 million hens in the first year of their multi-year agreement, rising to 2 million in the second year, said Cooperative President John Baptize. Quote, "We just couldn't find anyone who wanted broilers," end quote. He said, quote, "That market is saturated. Broilers are chickens raised for meat and bred to grow fast. They're typically delivered as chicks and shipped to the processing plant. When they reach about 4 pounds, usually when they're about 7 to 9 weeks old, they spend that much time inside. Eggs, at least the new style, cage-free eggs that Dutch Country wants, are a different business altogether." Founded by Lamar Von Traeger, Dutch Country Organics is an Amish-owned business specialty egg business based in Middleburg, Indiana. It contracts with more than 50 Indiana Amish farm families to produce fresh, cage-free, and other specialty table eggs. It sells its eggs through national outlets including Costco, Albertsons, Target, Aldi, Walmart, and Kroger. Quote, "The family farm is our store. It's what we support. It's what we encourage. The family farm where fresh, natural eggs come from, fresh, clean environments," end quote, Von Traeger said. Quote, "We promote the family farm where families work together to provide a place that hens can live and roam, doing what comes naturally to them." He said, quote, "Healthy and happy hens produce eggs that are healthier too, and that's good for all of us," close quote. For Matthew Ingram, the fifth generation Nottoway County farmer who received the first lot of laying hens this month, it's a big commitment to switch from broilers, for which he and other Southside growers couldn't find buyers, to eggs. "It's still chickens," quote, end quote, he said, quote, "but there's a lot to learn," close quote. His family has been raising chickens since the 1950s. The big 18,000 birdhouses he's had to refit went up in the 1990s. Those were meant to house chickens for no more than a month and a half at a time in large open spaces. The birds stayed inside eating feed supplied by Tyson, which dropped off the chicks and picked up the nearly full-grown birds, still too young to lay eggs. Quote, we were paid managers. Tyson kept the profits, close quote. Baptiste said, now we're going to keep them. But letting chickens range around in chicken houses, that's as long as the football field isn't as efficient way to gather eggs, not from the 18,000 birds in the house that Ingram and Bowen are aiming for. Laying hens need nest boxes. Since co-op members will need to have thousands of hens in their houses, they'll also need a conveyor belt type system for collecting the eggs. They'll need packing machines to gently jostle breakable eggs into plastic trays for shipping and scales for weighing eggs and chickens. The co-op's consulting nutritionists will be watching their reports to see if the mix of grains, vitamins, and minerals the hens are eating and yielding eggs of the size and quality Dutch country wants. The growers will also need coolers to store the eggs for a few days until they can be shipped. They had to find a new feed suppliers. Tyson used to do that for his contractors. And since Dutch country wants hens to be able to wander and peck at the earth for seeds and worms the way chickens used to do, they'll need to fence it areas outside for the hens to do what chickens want to do. It's a big shift and means a big investment, $400,000 to more than $1 million to refit the huge warehouse-like buildings where the growers used to raise 18,000 or more, quote, broiler chickens at a time. There will be other changes, too. Vaughn Ingram and the other co-op members will be keeping the birds for more than a year. The pullets, not chicks, the co-op members get arrive when they're 16 weeks old. Baptiste is running houses that raise day-old chicks to the 16-week birds that Ingram and the other co-op members who run the land hen houses get. The hens won't start laying eggs for another 5 weeks after they arrive. During that time, co-op member Roger Reynolds, who's been farming in Southside beginning as a kid in the 1960s, says he expects to be a lot busier than when he was doing broilers. Quote, it's not like broilers where you can maybe go to church and come back later. Close quote, Reynolds said. Quote, you need to be there walking through. They want to get away from you in the nest boxes. You want them to be a bit nervous. Close quote. You also want them trained. Ingram, for instance, expects to be walking through four times a day, at least at first, after overhead chain feeder dumps food on the slanted panels leading up to his new nest boxes. The idea is to get the birds to eat and then lay an egg. Quote, they'll know when it's time to come inside and lay. Close quote, Reynolds said. Quote, I think it's most like dairy with the same kind of demanding daily schedule, Bourne said. Quote, I can tell you there's a lot of late night phone calls, a lot of research to see how this is going to work. Close quote, he said. Quote, but cage-free looks like it's the way the market's going. If we can get in and get established, I think there's a future. Close quote. The author is Dave Ress of this article, and he can be reached 804-649-6948. And also reached at dress@timesdispatch.com. The next article is in the labor law section. The title is hairstyle discrimination is race discrimination. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, parentheses EEOC, announced that Louisiana-based drug and medical testing supply company American Screening will pay $50,000 to settle a lawsuit filed against it based on alleged hairstyle discrimination, which amounted to race discrimination in violation of federal law. According to the case, a black employee interviewed and was selected for a sales position. During the interview, she wore a wig with long, straight hair. After her hire, she stopped wearing the wig and, according to the case, started to wear her hair in its naturally curly texture. The owner allegedly instructed human resources to counsel the employee about her hair, and she was instructed to look more professional. She was told that when she started with the company, she, quote, came in with beautiful hair, close quote. The owner actually directed the employee to wear her wig with straight hair again. When she continued to wear her natural hair, the company fired her and hired a white worker to replace her. According to the EEOC's announcement, quote, the employee's hair, considered type 4-A on the Andre Walker hair typing system, is commonly associated with people who, like the employee, are black, close quote. Therefore, the EEOC alleged that the conduct and termination subjected the employee to disparate treatment based on her race in violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which prohibits discrimination based on race, sex, national origin, color, and religion for all employees and employers, and employee 15 or more employees. In addition to the payment, the employer will be subjected to a 3-year consent decree prohibiting discrimination, quote, on the basis of race or any immutable characteristic of race, including hair texture, and policies that prohibit discrimination against an employee who chooses to display their natural hair texture or style it in a way that is protected of their natural hair or scalp, close quote. The EEOC stated in its announcement, quote, just as an employer may not ask an employee to change or conceal their skin color, an employer may not ask an employee to change their natural hair texture, close quote. The commissioner added, quote, unfortunately, this form of discrimination continues to limit employment opportunities for black workers even today, close quote. The EEOC also stated, quote, professionalism standards rooted in prejudices associated with racial characteristics are unlawful. No one should be terminated or treated differently because of hair texture associated with their race under the guise of what is supposedly professional or not, close quote. Virginia employers that employ 6 or more employees also must comply with the Virginia Human Rights Act, which expressly prohibits hairstyle discrimination, commonly referred to as, quote, the Crown Act. According to the Virginia law, quote, the terms because of race or on the basis of race or terms of similar import when used in reference to discrimination in the code and acts of the General Assembly include because of or on the basis of traits historically associated with race including hair texture, hair type, and protective hairstyles such as braids, locks, and twists. Close quote. Recently, during a training, a participant asked about an employee who had hair that was so tall that the employee could not safely wear a construction helmet as required by their safety standards. Employers can mandate that employees meet safety requirements such pulling hair back or wearing safety equipment, so long as the employer requires this of all employees. The author of this article, Karen Michael, is an attorney and president of Richmond-based Karen Michael PLC. Email her at stayhired@stayhired.net. The next article is, should I invest all my savings into a new product? This section is the Ask Doug and Polly of Polly and Doug White. Question, I've got a great idea for a new product. I believe it could make a lot of money if I can get it to market. Unfortunately, that would take a big cash outlay. Do you have any advice before I invest all of my savings in this venture? Answer. We commend your entrepreneurial spirit and wish you great success before launching your business. We advise you to develop a robust business plan. There are many templates available. Find a good one and use it. Below are several questions that your business plan must address. We caution you to be brutally honest. If your idea isn't going to fly, it's much better to come to grips with this reality now rather than after you have invested your life savings in the venture. The questions you should answer are, what differentiates your product? We assume that your product fulfills a want, need, or desire. If it doesn't, rethink your plans. Sometimes the market doesn't know it needs your product. That's fine. Henry Ford said, quote, if I had asked them what they wanted, they have told me faster horses. Close quote. The first step is to identify the need your product will fulfill. Then determine whether or not this need is currently being met, and if so, how and by whom. Why should a prospective customer buy your product rather than a competitor's? If you can't answer this question clearly, concisely, and definitively, go back to the drawing board. Is there a large enough segment of the market that will value this difference? Identify the segment of the market that values the thing that differentiates your product. Estimate the size of the market segment. Now, reduce the size of the segment by the percentage of people who won't be willing to pay what you will have to charge to make your business profitable. Can you still reasonably project enough volume to make your business economically viable? Is the thing that differentiates your product defensible? If your idea is a good one, you had better know how you will keep a large competitor with deep pockets from copying it and running you out of the market. There are many examples of well-heeled copycats overtaking people with good ideas. You need a plan to protect yourself from this. Perhaps you can protect your intellectual property through a patent. Perhaps your idea, for one reason or another, is difficult to copy. What barriers to entry are there to keep the competition from moving in? How will you reach the target customer segment with your marketing message cost effectively. Whoever said if you build a better mousetrap, the world will be the path to the door, close quote, was simply wrong. If the world doesn't know you have a better mousetrap, no one will come knocking. Make sure you have a clear regarding how you will reach your target customer segment with your marketing message. You need to have a clear plan for cost effectively acquiring customers. A marketing cost per acquired customer of $50 is no good if you only make $40 on each new customer. How can you prove the viability of your idea quickly and inexpensively? You said that it will take a big investment to launch your product. We challenge that assumption. There may be ways to prove the viability of your concept without making the full investment. Outsource manufacturing or make version 1.0 by hand rather than buying expensive equipment. Launch in a limited geography. Chances are good that the initial version of your product will fail. Most do. Our advice is to fail fast and fail cheap. Launch as inexpensively as possible. Learn from the market's reaction. Make the necessary changes. Prove that your concept will be successful before investing in a full rollout. You may even need to sell the initial units for less than they cost to make. That's fine if you know you can manufacture them at a cost that is sufficiently below this price before rollout. What will your cash flow look like? Make sure that you build a thorough financial model that supports your decision to move forward. We encourage very conservative assumptions. New products most often take much longer and cost much more to launch than you would think. Unless you have a lot of experience launching new products, what you will consider fairway estimates are almost certainly aggressive. If the economics of your product don't look good with very conservative assumptions, you may want to rethink things. Launching a new venture can be exciting and rewarding. It can also be fraught with risk. Honestly answering the above questions will help you make decisions that are more informed. Doug and Polly White have an ownership stake in Gather, a company that designs and operates collaborative workspaces. Polly's focus is on human resources and people management. Doug's areas of expertise are business strategy, operation, and finance. Our next article comes to us from the Associated Press online. Yellen says Iran's actions could cause global economic spillovers and warns of more sanctions. This article was posted by Fatima Hussain from the Washington AP. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned Tuesday of potential global economic damage from rising tensions in the Middle East, and pledged that the U.S. and its allies won't hesitate to use their sanctions powers to address Iran's malign and destabilizing activity, in quotes, in the region. She made her remarks ahead of this week's spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank, saying that Iran's weekend missile attack on Israel, quote, underscores the importance of Treasury's work to use our economic tools to counter Iran's malign activity, close quote. Iran's missile attack on Israel early Sunday came in response to what it says was an Israeli strike on Iran's consulate in Syria earlier this month. Israel's military chief said Monday that his country will respond to the attack, while world leaders caution against retaliation, trying to avoid a spiral of violence. As the IMF and its fellow lending agency, the World Bank, hold their spring meetings this week, high on the agenda are the fast-rising tensions between Iran and Israel and what escalation could spell for the global economy. Israel and Iran have been on a collision course throughout Israel's six-month war against Hamas militants in Gaza. The war erupted after two militant groups backed by Iran led an attack on October 7th that killed 1,200 people in Israel and kidnapped 250 others. An Israeli offensive in Gaza has caused widespread devastation and killed over 33,000 people, according to local health officials. Once again, this article is by Fatima Hussein, and this was uploaded and updated on AP Online. That's all the time we have for the Richmond Times-Dispatch Metro Business this week. I'm Gwen Perkins for the Virginia Voice. Thank you for listening. This program is also available anytime on demand at www.virginiavoice.org.